Well, you notice there's a few extra people up here this morning. I'll explain that in a second. But I do want to read a passage of scripture that we read last week to get us started, and it's Isaiah 58. Last week we read almost all of it, and I'm not going to take the time to do that. It begins with the people of Israel complaining. This is the way it often is in the prophets. You know, the people are complaining, and they're saying, God, we've been fasting so much. We've been praying. We've been doing all the religious things that you want us to do, and haven't you noticed how great we are? Like, haven't you noticed our fasting and our ashes and our sackcloth? And why aren't you, like, doing the things we want you to do? And, you know, why aren't you, like, getting us the things you want us or we want to have? And so, you know, they're kind of laying that out there. And God comes and says to them in verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. So God is reminding the people of Israel what really matters, and it has a lot to do with people. And the other part of it is it has a lot to do with place. And this is going to connect to why these four people are sitting up here today. So in verse 12, Brian, could you throw that up there for me? I think it's like the second slide. It says this, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And in the message, the next slide, Brian, if you would, it says this, you will be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. That's the call of God. To be people who care about people and place. People and place. To be people who make the community livable again. That's part of our call, part of who we are supposed to be. And in this series, we've been talking about the idea of inhabiting the spaces and places of our lives. You have lots of places that are a regular part of who you are and your existence on this planet. Workplaces, school places, neighborhoods. What does it mean to inhabit those spaces? To be the presence of Christ in those places that we find ourselves regularly. So we've been talking a lot about that the last few weeks. What we're doing today with these very courageous and gracious people is we are hearing some stories of how some folks at the branch are inhabiting their place of neighborhood. And what I love about these four is their courageousness and their willingness to come up here and tell their story. I also love that there are so many people who many of you are sitting out there today in those more comfortable chairs who could be up here. In fact, maybe they wish you were up here, you know. Yep, see? There are so many of you who have invested in your places, who've brought meals to a neighbor who's ill. I go to Linnell Miller's and Dan Miller's house, and I hear them tell me all the stories about the people that live on either side of them. You know, I think about the gatherings in your backyard, Frangs, and the way in which you open yourselves up to your neighborhood. I think about Jonathan and his business in the neighborhood and how he views his work and this business he's starting as a way to invest in this particular place. So many of you could be sitting in these seats. If you're not, consider yourselves lucky. And today, let's listen to these four as they share a little bit about their story. And I hope that in doing so, you are both encouraged and inspired, and that maybe also God speaks something to you about how you might invest in the places that you find yourself. So that's the hope today. And if you don't know, this is the Rukus family and the Law family. Trina, Dave, Jason, and Mindy, and we're going to get started by having them tell you about where they live, all right? So I think, since you're closest to me, why don't you guys go first? Just give us a quick picture of where you live.
So I'm just not going everywhere. All right. Well, we live in Garfield Park, so kind of near the corner of Madison and Alger on a street called Mulford. And we've been there 5 years almost exactly now. And it's a good mix of young families, families with older kids, and then empty nesters, families that already raised their kids and they've moved out and they're still in the neighborhood.
Great.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think there are a couple pictures of your neighborhood up here. I don't know if you want to say anything about them. This is your street.
Yep,
your house is right. Just,
it's behind the trees.
Yeah, tucked in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you sent a couple of other pictures along. I don't know if you want to talk about them now or not, but...
This is Max's birthday party just 2 weeks ago. He turned 5. So these are all kids from the neighborhood, I think. Yeah.
That's great.
And this was our block party last year in June, and they turned on the hose on the top of the fire truck, so that was really fun.
Cool. So you're local, you're here, you've been in here for about 5 years, a mix of people in your neighborhood. Great. How about you guys, Laws? What, tell us a little bit about your place.
Sure. We live in Byron Center. We've been there for about 10 years now, and it's been a very growing development, for sure. We've watched a lot of houses go up where we live. There's a lot of young families, age with little kids all the way up to college age kids. There's not huge diversity, but there are some families where English is their second language. There's kids who go to the Christian schools, kids who go to the public schools. There's people who go to church, people who don't go to church. And we chose the area where we live basically because, well, the good schools and being close to bike trails and running trails because we like to do that sort of thing. That's about it.
That's great. So you built this house how many years ago?
10.
Whew, gosh, that's not possible.
I know.
I think the next picture shows your neighborhood kind of from a cool aerial view. Yeah, so that's a little picture of your development. And you guys are kind of in that upper, that little side street in the upper part there. Yep. Good. All right. So just a quick little picture of where these guys live and where they find themselves. The next question I wanted to ask you guys, because it's one of the things that we talked about in this series, was how actually hard it is sometimes to be aware of the beauty and the renewal that's already happening around us, and how easy it is to see only the brokenness of our world, the things that are not as they should be. But we're actually invited as God's people to notice beauty, to notice renewal where it is already and to celebrate it. And so I was hoping you would share a story or two, if you're feeling adventurous, about how you already see beauty, renewal, hope, life in the places where you live. What do you notice?
We see beauty and renewal just kind of in the everyday, I think, within our neighborhood. So we had Max's birthday coming up a couple weeks ago, and for that, I built him a big sprinkler, essentially, that goes over the sidewalk with misting jets. We were going to do a bike wash for his birthday party.
That's great.
It was pretty sweet. You should come over and check it out.
You're proud of it.
Yeah, so we got this going. It was before, a couple days before his birthday, and it was, I don't know, maybe 60 degrees at best. And it was evening after work, and we're just hanging out in the front yard with a couple of other families. And we turned this thing on the sidewalk, and kids just started seeing that there was something happening on the street. And we see just kids showing up to run through the sprinkler in this 55, 60 degree weather. And just to see the joy and the, I say the maybe the acceptance of being able to don't even ask questions, just go join whatever's happening on the street. I think we have a lot of that going on in the neighborhood where you can just go be a part of it and you don't have to ask or you don't have to feel like you already belong. You can just come and join.
That's great. That's great. How about you, Laz? Was there a story or two?
Yeah, I think we've seen that just in really simple acts of service that have happened in our neighborhood. Neighbors going above and beyond, and I think a lot of that has happened because of the deeper relationships we've formed with several of the families there. A few examples of this, we were gone for a week on vacation during a bad winter storm here in December over Christmas break, and we came back and our driveway had been plowed, we think twice actually. We're still not even sure who did it, but it happened. Same thing happens like in the summertime, you know, asking a neighbor to mow your lawn. It's comes out when, you know, certainly taking meals to families who are going through a life change or are sick. There's been kids invited to youth groups that don't go to church. Did I get everything? Once I was, Madison was, my youngest, was headed to the bus stop. We were running a little late, so... And she missed the bus, apparently. I wasn't there, but she missed the bus, and so my neighbor offered to, you know, have her hop in her car so she could drive her there to catch the next one. And so, you know, simple things like that, mm-hmm. that just, like I said, neighbors going above and beyond doing things that you wouldn't expect.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, great. So you're aware of beauty and renewal that is happening around you. You're also very present in your places. I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you guys to be up here today, because I think you've been very intentional about your place, which actually is really hard to do for, I think, all of us. We're busy. We're distracted. It is just easier to pull into the driveway or into your garage, head into your house, and to never really engage what's happening right around you. It is. It's just easier to do that. You guys have decided not to do that, and not perfectly, of course, but this has been kind of the posture you've been trying to have. My question is why? Like, why do you try and not get sucked into the into your home, into your little cocoon? Why have you tried to be more present in the places that you live?
I think for us, the biggest reason is because we crave community and relationships. Mm. I think everybody does. And what we've found over time by being intentional of, you know, even just being present in the front yard instead of the backyard, spending time on the patio, saying hi to neighbors, helping shovel the driveways that need help, like all of those small things that you don't really think about, work towards building relationship. And when you have friendships, some of the best friendships that you have that are within a close proximity, it's easy to do that. You can pull in your driveway at the end of the day and you can still kind of shut down, but you can still say, you can kind of be yourself and still have that community around you. And I don't know, I think it just kind of works together. The craving the community, but then being present in it, eventually it just sort of falls into being your place. You don't have to pack up, drive across town to see your friends. I mean, we still will do that, but it's yep. easy to walk out the front door and have a gathering on the patio or on the sidewalk. And so that continual refueling of the relationships happens all the time, and that just, I don't know, I think that feels good for us.
Yeah. Hey, what about you, Jason?
I agree.
well said. I mean, I think God calls us to be in community with each other, and I think at some level we all crave that. We don't live near the branch, so I know many people here live close and it's easy to walk next door or, you know, bike around the corner. Our parents live two hours and 4 hours away, so it's not like we have a lot of other family that's close. Mm-hmm. And we want to have that community. Mm-hmm. So making that intentional, we moved to Byron Center not knowing anyone. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is an honor sheet here, but I'm curious, you guys have both said that the longing for community is what has motivated you to be engaged. What have you found about the people in your neighborhood? I mean, I'm going to give you a little softball here. Do they, have you found that they have the same longing?
Oh, I think that happens. I mean, yeah, I think that absolutely happens. I think sometimes getting a couple people, a few people who will take that first step of initiating, of saying, hey, beer's on the back deck, mm-hmm. and we get home, you know, last night at 11:30, and there's, you know, four or five guys sitting out on the back deck of a neighbor's house and stuff, just being open to that. I think lots of them. Yeah, neighbors showing up, just.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we've found over time is that, so the same that we crave community and relationship, everybody does. And it's easy to get into the thought or the mindset that everybody else already has that, or everybody else is already in the in crowd, or already has the friends, or it looks like everybody else is already well connected. But we found that everybody feels a little bit that way. So if you can step out of your own and you know, make the invite of, hey, come on over for lunch, or, you know what, we're going to eat leftovers. If you want to join us, mm-hmm. join us. Mm-hmm. Like informal invites or informal relationships. As soon as you start to break down that barrier, people realize, oh, well, maybe everybody else is kind of in the same boat that I'm in. And then people can let down those walls, and then real relationships and community can form from that.
Yeah. That's so good. I think that we do tell ourselves that everyone's connected. And how if we throw out the invite, no one's going to come. And I don't think that is the case in most places. I think most of the places where we live, the people are longing for connection and meaningful relationship. And if someone's willing to initiate it, it can make all the difference. Yeah. Cool. So let's move on to the next one. Last week, we passed out honey to everybody, and we tasted some honey together because we were talking about this beekeeper guy who said that every bit of honey from a different part of the world has a different flavor. And there's a word of French origin called terroir, which is used for wine sometimes, but also used for honey to, again, talk about the unique flavor of something, a flavor that's connected to the particular place that it finds itself. So honey from Laos tastes different than honey from British Columbia. And on it goes. So this guy, I was sharing with people, this guy wrote about this, and sorry, the honey that you get from your grocery store does not come from a unique place. You can Google it and figure it out. It's pretty discouraging. You know, but anyway, terroir is something that is true of honey. Maybe it's also true of our neighborhoods. Maybe your neighborhood has a unique flavor. And what would it look like for us to influence that flavor, to be a part of contributing to the flavor of our place? And so I wanted to ask you guys, what is an intentional step that you've taken recently or in the past that has helped you contribute to or influence the flavor of your neighborhood, so to speak?
I don't remember our answers for this one. First, when we moved in, we had a one-year-old and a five-day-old, so we sat in our front yard and met people that way because we weren't leaving the house, and that's just where we are now, so that's kind of where it started.
Could you, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We wrote people's names down as they walked away into our phones so we could remember everybody or, like, what house they lived in. And
I thought that was such a great, when you guys first told me that, I thought that's so simple and brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sitting on the front porch, that's actually an intentional step, but then you went one further, said hi to people, and when you got a name, you wrote it down so you could remember them.
Yeah, I actually just deleted a bunch of those out of my phone.
Because you know
this
them.
Week. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, oh my word, I know these people, right? But it was fun to go back through and see those written down. Hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of where we started. I think most recently was just sending our kids to the school right in the neighborhood, which is a change from what anyone in the neighborhood's been doing, so...
Yeah, that's
adding a new spice.
No doubt about it, yeah. So sitting in your front yard, you have that intentional step. That's easier and simpler than the decision you've made to send your kids to the local elementary school, but both have an intentionality and both do flavor or change the kind of makeup of where you live. It's good. Yeah. Anything else? Feeling good?
Yeah. I think starting smaller with some of those small intentional steps has led to things like that. I mean, I think of some of the things that Trina's done over the past few years of living there, and you know, we have some good friends that lived down the street at one point, and they had a new baby, and not necessarily just bringing them meals, but sharing meals. You know, if she's made a large meal that we're gonna have a whole bunch of and leftovers, texting Amanda and saying, "Hey, if you haven't cooked anything yet, just take half of our food for the night." They do that all the time. They grab stuff for each other at the grocery store. So, you know, like just sending out texts to the neighborhood and just the small connections that way. And then, of course, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, we decided to start doing a weekly meal at our home. And we just started with one other family, inviting them over weekly, and then eventually inviting a few more families into that. So kind of starting small, and over the course of, it's been a long time, 5 years, we've grown to the point where, okay, now we've got a pretty decent sized group of folks that are a family on our street. What can we do, or how can we make choices that are intentional for this neighborhood? And that's kind of where Brookside came out of that.
Yeah, it's great. Cool.
I've never admitted this, but when we first moved into our neighborhood and started meeting people, I made a map of our neighborhood and started writing people's names down, and then even went to the tax assessor thing so I could figure out, because I don't always remember what their name is. Go there and see, okay, now who's what's their last name? And that
that's great,
stuff.
Jason. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I think an initial step that we took when we moved in, the branch had been talking about block parties and doing that. So Mindy decided we were going to throw a block party. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. We don't know anybody here. Mm-hmm. We passed out flyers to, I don't know, 20 or 30 houses, and like people showed up. I mean, you know, like 15 minutes before, we're looking at each other like, oh, man, this was not a good idea. People showed up with kids. The most memorable thing about that was a Vietnamese family who speaks very, very little English. They brought this enormous tray of homemade egg rolls that people still talk about to this day that, yeah, they were so good. But I think other than that, I mean, Mindy's done, you know, girls' nights asking, you know, ladies, hey, you want to go out? Of course, you guys always go out. Guys always end up on the back deck. guys, we would do, you know, we would just get together on the back deck and, you know, bring a different beer, a different beverage or whatever you wanted to share. And I realized that there were a number of new people from the neighborhood who did fantasy football, which I was not in, I knew nothing about. But I knew that there were some guys, and I'm like, well, this would be a great thing to do to help get people, like, then you've got something in common to talk about or, you know, to joke with or whatever and stuff. So we've been doing that for 5 or 6 years, not just guys. There's, yeah, a lady won it last year and she knows nothing about football. Fantastic. So, yeah, I think those are some. It's not that we don't necessarily do anything on a consistent basis. We definitely try to have people over, depending on our stage of life and what month it is. We can, you know, have a new neighbor over, an old neighbor just to connect and stuff. So, oh yeah, and then, yeah, Christmas parties. And the cool thing about this, I think, I'm sure you guys have seen, it's not just like it's us. There's definitely other people in the neighborhood. Right. But as you start to reach out, I mean, this past year, yeah, another neighbor, they're like, hey, we're having a Christmas party at our house. We're doing all of it. Just, you know, everybody come, and makes it fun when you have other people who are reaching out and saying, hey, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
snowball easily.
Yes,
that's right.
Like
that's
once that initial wall is kind of broken down, then other people will see. Oh, that's not that hard to invite somebody over.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm struck by is the, in a lot of ways, just the simplicity of your actions. I mean, you didn't organize like a neighborhood, I don't know, database. Well, you kind of did, Jason, with your map.
No, nobody knows about it.
No one knows about it. Secret. Yeah.
It's creepy. I know.
There's no like elaborate program that you created. There's not like a really detailed and high maintenance sort of rhythm that you tried to get everybody to join. there's a simplicity to your decisions, but it, in the intentionality of it, you started to see, again, these people kind of rise up and say, I want that too. I'm interested in that. I'm looking for that kind of relationship. Yeah, I'd come to that. Yeah, I'd host a bunch of people in my home for Christmas party. You know, I just think, again, we make it so complicated sometimes, and I just don't think it is. More often than not, I think it really is fairly simple. It's an invitation. It's closing the street down for half a day for a block party. It's a phone call to the fire department. That's really all it is, and they come and bring a truck and a sprinkler, you know.
Actually, Garfield Park Neighborhood Association will do all that for you.
They'll do it for you. So yeah. See, even simpler. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just encouraged by your stories in that way, because even me, I make everything overly complex and think, well, I could probably, but then that's going to have to, and then I might have to, and I talk myself out of it. But if there's just a willingness to take a step, it can snowball. It can become so much more than maybe I even realized. Yeah, say something.
Just along those lines, just want to say one more thing. I think that if you... You don't have to create something new. You don't have to do anything different than what you're doing. Don't change your actions thinking that that's going to create community. Just what you're already doing, invite people into that rather. Right. So I think that's a pretty important piece of it, is that you don't have to think large scale. You don't have to do anything different. Just or what you're already doing, just do it with somebody next to you.
That's great. Yeah. So for you, well, we're already eating dinner. Let's invite somebody to join us. Oh, we already throw a Christmas party. Let's invite some people to join us. Oh, we already play fantasy football, right? So that's a great word. Yeah, thanks. Cool. Last question here. I wanted to just give you guys a chance to talk about how you have been changed yourselves, or how you've been blessed because of this decision that you've made to be intentional about your place.
For us, it was when we started talking about Brookside. I was afraid to even talk to my close friends about what we were thinking in our school decision, and then I finally opened up to them, and these are, like, you know, the people that live right next door to us, and they just asked the hard questions, like, that everybody wants to know. And we just had to think through the answers and give it to them. And we never once asked them, who were generations of, you know, they went to Christian schools, their parents went to Christian schools. There was no doubt their kids were going to Christian schools. We never asked them to join us in this. And, you know, we started the year with 5 families somehow out of nowhere. And we never asked anyone. So that's been huge, because it's been great to walk in as a team. And every day, walking our kids, helping support the school, it takes a team. It wouldn't work just us. And then even on a smaller scale, just some neighbors. I mean, they're friends, but not our close friends. They're more just neighbors in the neighborhood. But they keep taking Max and Sawyer, which are the 2 kids that are still at home with me. They come sneak in the yard and steal them. And I've, like, got alone time here at the end of my pregnancy. And it's happened twice this week. And that's huge. They just walk off with my kids. It's nice. So we have community. We have friends.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Not insignificant, Minnie. What would you say?
Okay. Sorry. No, I was going to say that. I mean, quite simply, we've just been blessed with friendships, deep, meaningful friendships, authentic relationships that we've built with several of the families in our neighborhood. And there's this strong sense of belonging. And it's been neat to see, I've kind of already mentioned this, but, you know, what Jason and I may have initially initiated a block party years ago, but it's been really neat to see other neighbors step up and do the inviting and planning things to bring people together. And like Chris was saying, it doesn't need to be anything big. But one thing that we were thinking about that kind of epitomizes how we've watched our neighborhood grow to love each other. There was a family that was, his job took him over to Germany for 2 years. And so they've been renting out their house to this Spanish family from Madrid. who knew very little English when they came into the neighborhood. But that didn't stop us from, you know, making the initiative to invite them to things. And now that they're 2 years is about up, they are needing to move out of this house they're renting. They didn't want to leave the neighborhood. They have found a place to rent right on the other street behind ours. And there's also another, they'll be returning to Madrid this summer just to see family. And there's another family in our neighborhood that's going to go over and visit them and stay with them and tour part of Spain. And then this family that's been in Germany, their next door neighbors just got back from going over to visit them in Germany. So it's just been really exciting to see what started as this block party years ago evolve into, you know, where we were trying to remember, oh, now what's their names and what are their kids' names? And now, like, you know, they're traveling together. So there's just been a lot of meaningful, that just epitomizes that there's been some deep relationships built.
That's great. You're courageous for being up here today. It's never easy to sit in front of a group of people. I also, though, do commend the courageousness that you took to sit out on your front porch, to make the map, you know, to host the block party, because that is a courageous move. It is, it takes a little bit of like, okay, here we go. I am going to take this step, even though it might be a simple step. But I think you're telling us today that if we can do that, the fruit that can come from that decision can be really meaningful and significant, and it's worth taking a shot at it. So thank you for being up here today. Thank you for living faithful lives, for trying to make your communities livable, not just, you know, a collection of homes on the same street. So can we give them a hand for being up here today? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.